If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm Kirk Herbstreit, and today, I'm eating Raising Cane's. I want a solid bench of four chicken fingers, crinkle-cut fries with Texas toast. Now back to you, Todd.
So the usual.
Make Raising Cane's part of your game day lineup.
Welcome back to Hour 2 on a Wednesday. Steve Sipple, Jake Sorensen, Bill Bush on early break. Hour 2 is always sponsored by our friends at Midwest Bank. Member FDIC. Location South Lincoln at 27th and Jamie Lane, also at 70th and Pioneers. And what does Shin Daddy have going on today in Creighton, Bill?
Ode to dungarees. Ode to dungarees.
Yes.
It's Wrangler Wednesday.
Yes.
Oh, it's
Wrangler
not.
Wednesday. He's brought in two seamstresses, and everyone who comes in gets a pair of Wrangler jeans, and they get them fitted just perfectly for him.
So are you kidding me?
Yeah, so you get a pair of Wrangler jeans, and then they iron them for you, too. Wrangler jeans, people wear them ironed.
Pleated.
Yeah, not pleated. Pleated, no, they're not pleated.
They're not?
No, not pleated, but they're ironed. They are. So he'll have a seamstress there. So when you come in right away, you'll get measured. And then they have the jeans right there ready for you.
I'm telling you, some people had pleated Wranglers. They did.
There might have been. I don't think so.
100.
Well, I can't argue 100. Much after you said you ate Italian buffet at Wendy's.
That's true. And he was right.
And you were right.
I was attacked for that.
Yeah,
you were attacked.
You were attacked. And
we regret that.
My credibility questioned. My character attacked.
Assassination of character. You were right.
But yes, so he's having Wrangler Wednesday.
Wow.
So everyone's getting a pair of Wrangler jeans. Ode to dungarees.
That is a kind gesture.
Yes, he's just kind of giving back. He's in the end. His career is coming to an end.
It's well to do.
He's got plenty of time left, but he's not on the front end of his career. Steve isn't, so he's trying to give back to those who helped him in the business.
How old is Steve?
Steve, like that. If I'm right about that, I believe he's 65.
Okay, so he's on the cusp of retirement.
On the cusp. Yeah, I don't know when he's going to do that. I have no idea, but we'll get to that.
He likes to work, though.
He's running a bunch of Wranglers, all sizes.
All sizes. Youth also.
I'd go in.
Yeah, I'd be with...
You go today?
Free jeans.
Imagine coming back out today. Imagine coming back out and your wife's been there for a long time. Well, God, look at this.
Look at what I'm wearing.
Why are you carrying your jeans you went in? I got a new pair when I was in there. Got a pair of Wranglers.
That's a great service.
Like what you see.
You like this? You like this?
What?
You like what? Jeez, Jake.
Man.
Yeah,
it's a weird direction.
Yeah, kind of weird.
God. No. Why'd you take it a weird direction?
Weird.
Well, yeah, it was.
New jeans.
Like what you
take
see.
Take it to Shin Daddy.
Anyway, thank you to Shin Daddy. Yeah.
Yes. We also had
a treat.
Quite an interesting text came in. Josh McGuire, who runs Halo Lights with
Neil
and Brothers.
Okay.
He lets us know, I thought he said, while no single song dominated, the most popular song of 1898 was likely Break the News to Mother, recorded by George J. Gaskin.
Somebody's pregnant.
Break the News to Mother.
This is not that song, but it is a George Gaskin song from 1893.
We do have a Gaskin
called
song.
After the Ball.
Let's hear that.
After the Ball, done by Mr. George J. Gaskin.
Better times.
It gets better.
It's the piano.
That's After the Ball by George Gaskin from 1893. That was 1893.
So George Gaskin.
Imagine my dad saying, listen to that, going, better times.
You should ask your dad if he knows that name. Have you heard of George Gaskin?
I'd say it'd be a hard no. I don't think so. People didn't go back to better times with that. He's listening to Chubby Checker.
And what was the other song? Kentucky Home?
Oh, Old Kentucky Home was one also.
Do we know that song?
Yeah, that's the one that's still sang, I believe, at
Churchill Downs.
Yeah, Churchill Downs.
For the Kentucky Derby. Yeah.
And then On the Banks of the Wabash also. Okay. And Stars and Stripes Forever by John Philip Sousa.
That's a great song.
That's a great song.
That's a great one.
In the 1898s.
Okay, then there is another thing we need to address.
Oh, okay. We got
what do you got?
This was that game in... This is compliments of Brad of the Baldwin Shop. He sent the box score from the UCLA game in, you're saying, 93?
Yes, the 14-13 game?
Yeah, that was actually Lawrence Phillips and Tommy Frazier. Yeah.
Okay. George said that to me, and George, we had Lawrence Phillips, and I go, I don't know if George was, if he was right there. George was right. I was wrong.
Yeah, Lawrence Phillips had a 5-yard touchdown run. That was also, this is a name.
He'd have been a true freshman.
Bill's ears are going to perk up. Get ready. Gerald Armstrong caught an 11-yard touchdown pass.
Gerald Armstrong was a blocking machine. I believe.
Perked up indeed. You called that?
Help me out with that, Steve. Out of Ponca?
Ponca. 100.
Ponca, Nebraska.
Yep. Ponca. Yeah. 100.
I'm not sure who exactly did it. He was best friends with Corey Schlesinger.
Good God.
They were great friends. And I don't know if it was off to ask Brian Carpenter if it was Corey's car or if it was Armstrong's car, but they painted their car. But with a brush. They painted their car with just paint and a brush.
I'd like to watch that brush.
Now you pull into the parking
lot. That's pre-NIL.
That's pre-NIL. Dodge Chargers and stuff in there.
Oh, yeah, and big trucks.
Big trucks and stuff.
Ram back then, trucks, yeah.
Yeah, those guys painted their own car.
Okay, so they only scored 2 touchdowns. Yeah. Those were them.
That was it. Yeah.
But Lawrence Phillips and Gerald Armstrong, and Tommy was a quarterback, of course. Thank you. Yeah. Hey,
I was off a year
14-13.
Yeah. Hey, Brad, thanks for that contribution. We got to get stuff right on this show.
Oh, and we correct things, so thank you. 464-5685, call or text as always. There is a little graphic, a stat making the rounds yesterday. Not just locally, but around college football.
Making the rounds.
There's a fella named Parker Fleming, at StatsOWar on Twitter, who is he was doing a lot of different stats in terms of, like, expected point differential based on the scores in the first, second, third, fourth quarters of football games. He was doing this most first in the NFL, then he went to college football. And Nebraska, on a good news, is positive point differential in the first, second, and fourth quarters. The problem is here, they have a negative 31.53 expected point differential in the third quarter.
What
they
does
have
this
been,
mean? Like,
they have been jackhammered in the third quarter by teams this year.
But not by 31 points.
No, but it's by a lot, though. I don't have the exact numbers for you on that one. But I know that Nebraska has had poor third quarters is the point of this entire graph.
I wonder what expected points differential means. It doesn't mean you expect them to lose by 31 in the third quarter. That's insane, right?
Yes.
That you wouldn't be outscored by 31. And you wouldn't outscore teams by 18 in the first quarter. That's almost equally insane, right? You don't average an 18.
No.
So I don't know what those numbers mean exactly.
But the gist is still that Nebraska has come out of the locker room a little bit flat in the third quarter. It's been a theme the whole year. Now, again, Northwestern, you get the kickoff returns throughout the second half. That was great. They had a good third quarter in general in that game. But you think about Michigan State. Now, the win was a huge factor in that game. But Nebraska had a poor, very, very poor third quarter. Good, strong fourth quarter to win that football game. Maryland, a bad third quarter. Good fourth to win that game. Like, yes, they have won those games, but it has been concerning how they come out of the locker room.
You're right. The third quarter, opponents have outscored Nebraska 74-56. God, that is... So the... Okay, score by quarters, if you're just looking at it.
Go for it.
God, this is interesting. Nebraska in the first quarter has outscored teams in the first quarter this year 64-16.
It's very good.
64-16.
Okay, then what?
Second quarter, 102-47.
Hey guys, it's Jake Sorensen. The holidays sneak up fast, but it's not too early to get your shopping done and actually have fun with it. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. Uncommon Goods has something for everyone, from moms and dads to kids and teens, from book lovers, history buffs, and diehard football fans to foodies, mixologists, and avid gardeners. You'll find thousands of new gift ideas that you won't find anywhere else. When you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small, independent businesses. Many of their handcrafted products are made in small batches, so shop now before they sell out this holiday season. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $3 million to date. So shop early, have fun, and cross some names off your list today. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/earlybreak. That's uncommongoods.com/earlybreak for 15% off Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon goods were all out of the ordinary.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Good. Third quarter outscored 74-56.
Okay.
Not horrific. They've outscored, and then in the fourth quarter, they've outscored opponents 75-41. So, yeah, the third quarter's definitely the trouble spot. How do you answer that, though? Why?
Don't know the why. I really don't. It's kind of, okay, what is the
adjustment?
It does show a number that says you didn't play as well offensively in the third quarter. And then sometimes it could be, well, what if you won every single toss of the coin? Meaning that lost or won, whatever, that where the opponent had the ball first
in the
third quarter, meaning you were down a possession in the third.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were up a possession in the first. So that's always that's a small, minute thought, but it could be that could factor in a little bit. But no, I don't think much of it. But I do think this, the one thing that where things get so out of whack when they were talking about like USC being their numbers being so crazy. Remember I talked to you about the only way you can have any sort of justification and make it somewhat make sense with numbers is look at conference only. Because when you don't look at conference only, you're not gaining anything. Because, I mean, USC beats, Southeast Missouri, like 70-some.
He put 77 points.
Missouri State put 70-some points on him. And that really carries on throughout the year. That carries a lot of weight. Mm-hmm. So, but at least in the Big Ten, now they're not all the same because, you know, right now, should Wisconsin have the same stats as somebody else? And it's like, oh, man, they've been through a juggernaut like I've never seen before. Mm-hmm. So that makes stats hard also. But at least if it's in conference, you have something to compare it to as you go through. But the out-of-conference is where numbers get way skewed on who plays who.
The third quarter, I mean, you look at these games, it has been problematic in the games that, you know, the Big Ten games is what I'm talking about. Now, I don't – why is the offense producing at a lower level? I mean, I read those numbers. That's a good question. I don't know. I think this is mainly an offensive discussion. Their numbers, first quarter 64 points, second quarter 102, third 56. 475. So I don't.
But defensively, I mean, you said 16 in the first quarter, 47 in the second.
47.
And it jumps to 75 in the third.
74. Yeah, you're right. 74.
So it's really both sides.
It's both sides, right.
In that quarter.
I don't get it. Is that? Oh, no. Now everybody's going to say, well, are they not making the necessary adjustments?
How you come out at half? I don't know. I said they don't know. There's nobody that just doesn't start about. Talk about starting fast in the third quarter. Yeah. The big time that you always talk about is you can use the term middle eight or whatever it is, the last part of the second quarter in the first part of the third quarter. It is. I have been, like I said, it's you're on edge right away. If you're up on defense first, you're on edge. On offense, you're on. If you come out offensive and you roll down and score on that first drive of the second half, man, that is a gut punch. And if you can get off the field defensively, that is a huge plus also.
It hasn't been a horrifying problem of late, Jake. USC did outscore Nebraska 8-0 in the third, but Nebraska did outscore Northwestern in the third 14-7.
Yes, kickoff return was helpful there.
Yeah, 14-7. Minnesota outscored them 7-0, but Maryland outscored.
Maryland had a big third quarter.
14-0. Yeah, Nebraska came out of the gate flat. It was odd. It's been a problem. I don't know. There's myriad issues probably there. But I want to ask Bill this because he's a coach. We always, in the press box, it's almost a cliche. I think Jake would agree. It's like a cliche where I was like, well, they better make adjustments. They got to make adjustments. Yeah, those guys better make some adjustments. Yeah. Is that a real conversation with coaches?
It's a conversation with what's going on, what we have to adjust to. What do we? And there's a lot of anticipation talk. What have we not seen yet that's going to show up?
Oh,
so there's always anticipation football. Is always okay.
God,
hey, there's a couple things here now. We're anticipating. We haven't seen them. This is you talk to your team about that. Hey, remember, we've not seen any empty. They're an empty team. If certain stuff like that, that's probably going to come back up.
Okay.
In this area, what are the adjustments? Like, when give you an example, Iowa. When we played there a few years ago, when we beat them at Iowa, they were a huge empty team. And in the first half, we got after them on that. We had a sack fumble. We had different plays. And obviously, they made
I remember the sack fumble.
And so we talked about what we're going to do to empty in the second half. A couple different things. And guess what? They didn't run empty again. Because I guarantee the head coach is like, we can't protect this right now, and we're not doing this. And so that was an adjustment that we had an adjustment made, never had to use it.
Never used it.
Never had to use it.
The other thing I wonder, Bill, God dang it. I'm glad he's on the show sometimes. Sometimes.
I agree with that.
Well,
sometimes I'm not so.
Aren't we making adjustments as the game goes? Like, I'm always like, I don't know if they just wait till halftime.
No, you're doing it immediately.
Right.
You come off the field like that. It's like, what just happened?
Right.
Where'd that hit at? You're drawing it up, you know, like that. The linebacker coach is drawing up the fit. So I would imagine there was some times in the game where the counter hurt Nebraska. I guarantee you. I guarantee you it wasn't like, well, let's try to catch it at halftime, or let's try to, right. It was being addressed immediately.
Right.
And it was like, what happened? So-and-so didn't spill. So-and-so, the linebacker didn't get over the top. The safety didn't get in his fit. Whatever it was, like I said, and there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on in those plays when gaps change.
Football.
That's what's happening.
Football, Jake. There's a lot going on.
As I was telling the George Darlington crew last night, I go, it's just how complicated football is. I said, baseball might be complicated, but guess what? There's no clock. There's zero clock management. Imagine that one.
But baseball is kind of complicated.
Yeah, but you don't have to manage
no
a clock.
Clock right.
There's no
right.
clock like that. There's no
bunt situation.
There's situations. Volleyball. There's no clock.
No.
And so it's like, so you can always, if the game is still going, you could be down two sets and be down 24-0 and be like, this got to get right. We can still win this game. We got to win about 100 points in
ticking.
A row. Now there's no, hey, listen, just ride this thing out where it's like all of a sudden you got to manage the clock.
No.
There's no clock management.
Milk it.
So clocks are interesting, how that changes in some games. Tennis, there's no like, hey, listen, just hang in there because eventually they're going to run out of time.
You'd want to be a tennis coach. Yeah. There just can't be that much to it. I mean, but anyway, I'm serious.
Hey, Jake, he's kind of right on that. What are we doing?
Compared to, you know. Oh, yeah.
What are we doing?
You don't need football. A bunch of coaches. Charge
the net.
I
do want to say baseball, there is a lot of complications. Sure. I played. You have to go through a lot of situations.
All the situations that came up at the end of that game, should he have been 2 more feet off the bag to get home?
There's
so many like that. Yeah. But there's no clock.
No clock. Yeah. But football, nobody will ever. When people say to me, come on, football's a simple game. No, nope, not simple. Complicated.
You're making calls every 20 seconds on both sides of the ball. You have to call something. They have to call something.
Complicated.
Yeah. I mean, there's times in basketball you'll watch the coach stand there and they'll go up down the court 10 times with nothing really.
Right.
There's nothing said.
It's just a free-flowing game.
Yeah.
Not complicated. Basketball. Not complicated. Tennis. Not complicated.
Basketball is a preparation game, except for because some of the scenarios don't even happen anymore. Like I said, you used to have to talk about. I talked to a friend of mine, Steve Patras, legendary basketball player at Nebraska Wesleyan and high school coach.
What's his name? Patras?
Steve Patras.
Yeah.
And we talked about jump balls. All the work you had to do on jump ball defense, jump ball offense.
Situational,
What are you going to do? And also, Jake, on jump balls, you jumped in front of your own basket. So that's a way different game. It's the middle of court, wherever the – so
work on it all the time.
You had to work on it all the time. Mm. And so now there is none. There's no jump balls anymore except for the first one. And no one even cares about the first one.
No.
Do you even care who wins the first?
Now, the NBA does have jump balls, though. Not college, but NBA does. They still jump.
But how often, though?
They do. They jump it. Like, it's still this guy, this guy was tangled up. This guy are going to jump. They still do that. But not in college, I don't think.
No, they don't have
any. I love these discussions. Jump I love ball. Them. I love
Jerry,
them.
Chime in. Schmuddy. We had him on the air one time.
We talked
about jump balls. It was a bugaboo of mine. Things that bother me.
We could revisit that sometime. That was interesting.
We'd like to go back.
Guys, I hope Schmuddy's listening.
Jerry,
are you out there?
Text in, please.
Please do.
Please weigh in.
When we come back, Bill's Thrills is next on Early Break on the Ticket.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem.
With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.